at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. A jury in McLennan County has deadlocked on a verdict in the first trial related to the deadly biker gunfight in Waco. So a judge has declared a mistrial. Christopher Jake Carrizal, a leader of the Bandidos biker gang, was charged with directing the activities of a criminal street gang and engaging in organized criminal activity. The 2015 gunfight left 9 bikers dead. It's the deadliest shootout between biker groups in U.S. history. No retrial was immediately scheduled. If you plan on driving through Richardson or Plano this weekend, we have a traffic warning for you. KERA's Eric Austin has the details.
Beginning tomorrow morning, U.S. Highway 75 will be closed in both directions in parts of Richardson and Plano. The closures will run from 15th Street to just south of Renner Road, and that includes the entrance and exit ramps for President George Bush Turnpike. If you approach the area, you'll be directed to frontage roads, so you'll want to give yourself a few extra minutes for the detours. The highway is shutting down for the partial demolition of the Plano Parkway Bridge. Closures begin tomorrow morning at 3. The highway reopens Monday at 5 a.m., just in time for morning rush hour. Eric Austin, KERA News.
There are other highway closures around North Texas this weekend. In North Dallas, westbound I-635 lanes between TI Boulevard and Hillcrest Road will be closed. That starts tonight at 9. And in Fort Worth, all lanes at westbound I-820 and I-35 West will be closed starting tonight at 9 as well. Authorities say 11 people remain hospitalized following Sunday's church shooting in Sutherland Springs. Patients are at 2 San Antonio hospitals. Their conditions range from good to critical. Pete Blair trains law enforcement officers from across the country about how to respond to active shooters. He talked with KERA about some of the advice he gives officers in training.
The first thing we want officers to understand is what the priorities are during an event. There are a lot of things happening at once and a lot of possible things competing for their attention. But the first issue that we want them to focus on is what we call stop the killing. The officer's primary task is to go to that shooter to isolate, distract, and neutralize that person. So, for example, we teach them if they see people that are down on the ground wounded, rather than stopping to help the wounded, they bypass the wounded to go after the shooter. Then the second phase, what we call stop the dying, where people have been shot and they need medical assistance. And we want to get that medical assistance to them as quickly as possible.
You can hear more from Pete Blair at KERANews.org. Texas continues to outpace other states in terms of population growth, and about a quarter of that population is under 18. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with TCU history professor Max Crockmall about how this growing demographic could affect Texas politics.
That population is overwhelmingly people of color, and as those folks become more politically active and more sort of aware of the issues at stake, it has the potential to move the needle politically. And what we're seeing is that young people are really on the leading edge of several vibrant social movements that are really taking off in the state right now. At the same time, in our last presidential election in Texas, the percentage of the voting age population that actually turned out to vote was less than 50%. So the largest political party in Texas right now is the non-voter. But in terms of political transformation, I think the energy we see right now among young people who are engaging in the immigrant rights movement and Black Lives Matter in other struggles for justice has the potential to really upend things.
Rice University sociology professor Steven Kleinberg also joined the conversation.
Anglos are rapidly aging. There's 76 million babies born between 1946 and 1964 in that baby boom generation, overwhelmingly Anglos. We're going to watch a doubling of the number of people over the age of 65 in the next 25 years, overwhelmingly Anglos, and the young people are disproportionately non-Anglo. So it's a part of the central transformation, and I remind people, no force in the world is going to stop Houston or Texas or America from becoming more African-American, more Latino, more Asian, and less Anglo as the 21st century unfolds.
This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. North Texans continue to fill the landscape with construction projects like Toyota's new headquarters in Plano. Architecture critic Mark Lamster says we need to consider what such developments mean to transit systems and to the environment. In our weekly State of the Arts conversation, Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks talks with Lamster about architecture meeting the countryside.
Mark Lamster, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Recently, you wrote an extensive consideration of the new headquarters built in Plano for Toyota of North America. Could you summarize your response to that new complex?
Well, I called it the Camry of architecture, which is to say conservative, not especially exciting, but safe, efficient, and...
Functional?
Functional, yes. It makes great efforts at sustainability, about being green, but it is also in corporate suburbia of Plano. And that's an important choice. And so the question for me was, how environmentally sustainable, how green can we actually call a big corporate office for an automaker that is not really connected to the Dallas transit system?
The suburban corporate campus has become a signature modern structure. It grew out of industrial complexes. But when suburbs came along, corporate headquarters moved out there as well. But now they're not in downtown office buildings or factories, but campuses. They blend buildings with the landscape. To play devil's advocate here, your piece seemed to object to the very nature of the suburban corporate campus.
I think the real issue is that we need to understand that that's what's happening, and it constitutes a choice that Americans are making about how we develop land, about how we develop our cities, about where we live generally. And those are really important choices, and they affect all of us. So it's not so much whether I like it or dislike it. I think it's important to think about what it means to build a corporate campus in a location like that and how it's done.
It seems what you're talking about here is sprawl.
Right. Its problem isn't so much Toyota's as our own regional problem of how we develop transit. I mean, you can understand Toyota needs a big space. They're going to need to test cars. They need a lot of land. So again, the idea isn't to castigate Toyota for choosing a location like that, but it's really to think about the implications and choices we make by placing something there and how we place it.
Another instance of the very modern meeting the pastoral, meeting the countryside, as it were, is the new pavilion at the Dallas Arboretum, which you enjoyed a great deal. What's different about it?
First of all, I should say that the architect of the pavilion is Russ Buchanan, a wonderful Dallas architect. He happens to be a good friend, so I can't say I am the most objective critic of that space, but it's just a very open public space. Of course, one of the knocks on the Arboretum is the same knock on Toyota, which is that people call it the Carboretum because historically there's no sidewalks outside of it, there's no bike lanes, and thankfully that's changing so that the Arboretum and this wonderful sort of glass box pavilion, this will become more accessible.
In thinking of the two complexes, the Toyota headquarters and the new pavilion at the Arboretum called A Tasteful Place.
Yes, that's not the world's greatest name, is it now?
I was struck by their similarities. They both use creek beds, local limestone, and steel. That's become a Texas idiom.
Absolutely. You would think about O'Neill Ford, Frank Welch, who just recently passed away. And they were known for taking sort of the elements of a Texas landscape, stone and this tin shed roof.
The ranch house.
And sort of translating those elements into modern spaces. And I think you can see that in both of these projects.
I found it hard not to enjoy the pavilion. Handsome structures, lovely grounds, the Dallas skyline.
I think it's fabulous. But even if you don't like it, just turn around and you've got one of the best views in the city.
On Sunday, Mark Lamster will discuss art and architecture at North Park Center with Nancy Nasher, owner of North Park. Details are at artandseek.org. In the weather, mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 50s. This weekend, cloudy with highs in the mid to upper 60s, possible showers on Sunday. Right now it's 60 degrees in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.